Welcome to the Man Up God's Way podcast, a show that dives into the real, raw, and relevant issues for men and their faith, life, and community. Now, your host, Jody Birkin.
Guys, thank you so much for joining the Man Up God's Way podcast, one-on-one with Jody Birkin and my special guest, David Smallbone. David, how are you doing today?
I'm going better because I'm talking to you, Jody, and hey, you're a good friend to a friend of mine, and so we've got community.
Exactly. So, yeah, we've got an acquaintance, Dr. Ed Smith, who is the president of Williamson Christian College, and that's where I'm actually going to get my master's right now. So he told me to tell you hi, and that is a blessing to know you.
Yeah, we've done a lot of life together. When we first came to America 32 years ago, I came over to work for somebody and got let go after 2 months. And so we lived in poverty. We didn't know anybody. And it was his beloved and People's Church, now Church of the City, that helped put food on the table for us. And we saw the hands and feet of Jesus. And we will never be the same because of that experience.
Amen. Amen. Well, the movie, which is Unsung Heroes, is based on your life and your family's life. And one of the things I like for our audience to hear is really kind of your walk to and through Christ, how you ended up meeting Christ and what he has done in your life, and kind of tell the story without giving the story away for the movie as well.
Yeah, I don't know if it applies to a lot of men, but it's a bit of a long journey. Grew up in a Christian home, wonderful parents. At about 22, my wife had told me, my now wife told me at the time she was interested in me, but I wasn't serious enough about Jesus. So she then went and started dating somebody else. And we were at a Bible study. How many years ago is that? 52 years ago together. And I made a decision to follow Jesus at that Bible study, and she dropped the other guy that night. We've been together ever since, you know. And over time, you know, I was serious about Jesus, but then I got into business, and I think I got a bit lukewarm. Mm-hmm. And then it took the story of the movie about me losing everything on a big tour in Australia that I used to do all the major Christian tours. I lost everything on a tour 34 years ago. And I went to Helen 32 years ago and said, "Baby, I think the only way we're going to get ahead is go to America." And she said, "We go for 2 years." 32 years later, we're here, still here. But in that experience of coming here, getting let go, living in poverty, I saw the hands and feet of Jesus. And it moved me from a lukewarm Jesus follower to a passionate Jesus follower. And it's almost, I recommend it for everyone. I don't want to go through it again, but that being in the desert there for a little while, not able to get arrested in the music business, very competitive. It was a great experience for me because the church loved on us. So now I find myself, my son, so I can't say it, but I'm a little, how can I say it? I don't have a lot of confidence. I'll say it a different way. Don't have a lot of confidence in the music business, but I love the church. And I'm Amen. What I'm trying to do in my area of influence, I own a third of the King Country. I'm trying to bring the church into how we do music business. And it's an adventure.
Praise God. You know, it's funny. My kids, you know, I was an atheist prior to giving my life to the Lord and was a hellion and ran with the devil kind of deal. And I've always said, I wish and kind of like where you went, you know, a lot of times you have to go through the valley in order to get to the mountaintop, and going through that valley is kind of where you root and you kind of, the seeds start growing. And I've always said to my kids, you know, because they've grown up in a Christian home, that's all they've known. And now they're getting ready to get out into their life. You know, like it's almost like I wish they could go through what I had to go through in order to know Christ a little bit more and to understand who he is. But, you know, and not have, you know, the worry of any problems or issues. But at the same time, I'm glad they are where they are. But that's kind of what makes us men, you know, the men that we become is kind of going through the trials and tribulations that we end up going through. So you, I go ahead.
I think sometimes in contemporary society, we make it too easy for our kids.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think there's a tradition in America to send your kids away to college. We don't have that in Australia. I'm not sure that tradition is always healthy. So we homeschool right. our kids. We threw them in at the deep end to survive. They all had to work starting when they were 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, mowing lawns, cleaning houses, all those type of things. And I look back now and I think, you know, they did an apprenticeship in life. They learned how to work together. And now they're all involved in music or film or something. And that, those early years of doing it tough as a family, I think it's good. So maybe my message, I can only share my life experience. Hey, don't make it too easy for the kids.
Too easy, right? Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I had John on a few weeks ago, and we had a great conversation and talking about, you know, just being homeschooled, because my kids were homeschooled as well, and just the experiences that he had. And I think what you've done, you know, even in, you know, as a man, sometimes we want to take our failures and make that part of our character. It's just like, you know, this is who I am. And it sounds like that's not what you did. You actually use those failures to help boost you forward. And more importantly, what you ended up doing was bolstering the success, if you will, for your children. And that's what every man wants for their children, is to have that kind of success. What do you think was the catalyst for all of that? Was it just your desire to be successful, or your kids to be successful? Or did you finally realize that maybe it wasn't you that was going to be successful? You're going to push them through.
I'd like to think that it's following through on certain principles and ideals that came out of a tough place. And one, mm-hmm. and two of those are, two of the core principles for King Country are loving on the brokenhearted, sharing the most wonderful message known to man to as many people as possible. And so whenever we come up with a hard business decision, and here we are working, we all work with corporate America at some level, corporations are into quarterly profit. Our responsibility is a higher responsibility, I think. And it's to look at ways of living the life and sharing it loudly. Mm. And I think after going through that broken season and seeing the absolute wonder of Jesus loving me when I was broken, it was a Damascus experience. And so
Amen.
Now I think probably Helen's and my ideal is ministry first, business second. If we can get the ministry right, there's going to be enough money there. And so I had an interesting thing. This is an interesting practical thing that probably some of the guys might identify with. So we lose everything. I go to the people running that tour and said, can you give me a reduction? And they said, no, can't do that. You've got a legal agreement. And so I kind of accept it, but it meant that I had to sell the house. And it was a very humbling moment. But so we come to America, Rebecca's career starts. And I'm thinking in the back of mind, how can we do this differently so that we take care of our partners, our promoters that we're doing concerts with? So we committed that if anybody ever lost money on one of our shows, we'd give them money back. And so that's what we've done. We did it with Rebecca. We do it with King Country. It doesn't happen that often, but it has happened. The crazy thing is, in God's economy, which is a beautiful economy, the goodwill we have in the marketplace.
Praise
everybody,
God.
Everybody wants to work with us and do concerts right. because they know, oh, if they lose money, we'll take care of them.
Right.
And it came, it's a positive that came out of a very broken season. But I now think that it should be, even you tell me a bit about your life experience, it should be to live in the wilderness for a little while.
Right.
It teaches you something. It
sure does.
That you don't get when it's all easy. And I think us parents, we got to be careful. We're not too kind to our kids. We have strong accountability in the family because we're partners in business. And we talk about the hard stuff. I own a third of a King Country. And so that means occasionally I get voted out. You know, like there's a three-man. That allows wisdom. And so I'm now an apologist. I didn't realize it when we started this 15 years ago, when we started this agreement with my sons. But I think it's very valuable to us in navigate. Music business is crazy.
Right.
And then getting balance in Christian music between the ministry and the commercial side, it's even crazier.
Right.
And, you know, to get to, well, what's the where's wisdom in this crazy question? It's not always easy. You know that.
Right. Right. Especially because it's not like you guys are just, you know, two guys and a guitar and, you know, maybe a drummer and a bass guy going to these venues. I mean, it's a production. The production that you're doing for King and Country is state of the art, and it's done in excellence. And I think that's where, you know, just from the outside looking in with what you guys have done is that you've taken, you know, this message. Every one of your songs has, you know, a message behind it. And then you've added the excellence to it in order to give somebody a great show as well as a great message. And people want to work with that kind of, you know, that kind of mental attitude, if you will, is that when you're going to do it, you're going to do it right. And I think you guys have done a really good job. You've obviously raised your sons to think kind of the same thing. Even, you know, Rebecca, you've got, you know, still, you know, doing the things that she's done, and you've done it really well. And just, again, on the outside looking in, going through the trials and tribulations that you went, you did a really good job with your kids. And I can't imagine how that feels, you know, being able to look back at that and say, that's my testimony. And here's the fruit of that testimony.
Hey, buddy, it's been an incredible adventure. But does that mean it's easy? You know, just in the last month, you know, with this movie coming out, we've had the enemy chasing after us, it's been sobering. But I think one of the things that maybe I can share about that is we're very focused. What happens to a lot of artists, they'll have a manager who has five or six other acts. So we help Rebecca, but she's a mother as well. But really, the King Country is our focus. And when we go out and do concerts, there's 30 or 40 people. So we have a goal of excellence in ministry.
Right.
And also going back to, you know, one of the foundational principles, how do we take this message wider? So we will connect with those outside the church if they see excellence. If they see mediocrity or something that's ordinary, it's probably not going to get their attention. The other thing is when we pull from the Jesus precedent of talking in parables. And so if you listen to a For King Country song, the people in church know what we're talking about. And the people outside the church think, oh, that's a positive song. And you look at most music these days, it's pretty negative. So it is it's kind of a wonderful thing that we've stumbled over. But where the boys benefited, they had done their 10,000 hours working with Rebecca. Joel was backup singer, a stage manager. Luke was doing the lights. So when they came into the For King Country era 12 years ago, when they started going on the road, they were prepared. And my encouragement to everybody in ministry, whatever, be prepared, do your 10,000 hours. But there's nothing better than being, you know this, there's nothing better than being allowed to share this wonderful message. Mm. It's so purposeful.
Amen. Amen. So you just recently had the red carpet event down in Nashville. And just so you know, from a little insider information, I think Lion's Choice said it was the law, or not Lion's Choice, sorry, Lionsgate. Lion's Choice is a restaurant here in St. Louis. Maybe I can get them to advertise on me. But Lionsgate said it was the largest red carpet event that they had ever had.
We couldn't believe it. And what I can tell you, buddy, is, you know, doing this movie. So we live in the miraculous when we come here 32 years ago.
Praise God.
We make the movie. We experience the miraculous. Now, in marketing the movie, we experience the miraculous, because who would have thought that? Lionsgate have done a lot of big movies. And then the other piece of information that I just got yesterday was the film people came to me and said, oh, because our agreement was, I think, that they would put $12 million of marketing into the movie and they would put us into 2,000 theaters. As of yesterday, that was up to 2,600 theaters. And that's not all the screens. Some of those theaters have 15, 16 screens in them. Like I know next week when we play at Thoroughbred here in town, 15 of the 16 theaters are going to be showing the movie.
Praise
and
God.
I just think to myself, well, isn't that wonderful that the hope in Jesus, the wonder of family, is getting out to so many people. So my only thing to people is, hey, if you've got a friend who is broken or needs Jesus or their family needs to be encouraged, take them to the movie. This is all surreal for me. Like we never thought there'd be a movie about our family. But what happened is Luke used to do the compassion pitch, still does.
Right.
He'd talk about our story. And then 3.5 years ago, he thought, this story really resonates. Because that year, I think Compassion had, in one year, the most children ever sponsored from a band ever in their history. And so we know the story's resonating. He spoke to a Hollywood producer, and the Hollywood producer said, yeah, I'll do that movie, and I'll give you $6 million to make it. And so that's...
Praise God.
And I love it that his story every night is now being amplified,
right?
And more people are going to hear it. And our hope is that people who are not that excited about family or not that excited about Jesus might come back challenged to be supportive of both after they see it.
Amen. Well, the movie couldn't come out at a better time with the assault that is happening on the family. You know, as a men's ministry, we're an international men's ministry, and we see it, you know, firsthand. You know, the men are being split with their wives. The moment that that happens, that, you know, the family is divided, and the family starts being divided, then the church will eventually be taken over as well. And then it just kind of filters into the community and into the nation. And, you know, with the assault that's happening on the family, this is a great time to have this kind of movie that really just amplifies what family is really about. And we're so secularized, even within the homes. I think it's a great opportunity for this movie to make a real impact with maybe the marriages that are struggling, or the families that think that, you know, they've got to have more than what they really have in order to be a family. And I think your message now is more vital than any time in the history of the United States.
Well, thank you for saying that. I was talking to a buddy yesterday who was separated, and I was able to share two things that have really helped me. One is I read a book when I was 35 by Larry Crabb called Inside Out, and it had a chapter on unconditional love. I'd been married 10 years at the time. I knew my marriage was good. I knew I had work to do. And there was a this chapter on unconditional love really challenged me. So I started to attempt to love Helen unconditionally instead of conditionally, which, you know, what that's meant like. Right. And overnight, the marriage went from good to great. And I realized that all those little, you know, we play the blame game, all those silly little things that I was blaming her on, it was me.
Yeah.
And that was a good starting point. And then 5 years after that, I lose everything. And, that made our marriage stronger, because in the 2 years that I was living in the wilderness, she was supportive of me. She didn't criticize me. Had she criticized me, I would have had a nervous breakdown because my mum had a nervous breakdown at exactly that age. And it was, but that season in the wilderness, we became a very tight family. We struggled together to survive. We prayed together. We worked together. And we're still working together so many years later. And so the two elements, so probably what I can say is going through a hard time, it could be good for your marriage because yes, exactly. It brought us, because I was no longer racing around away all the time. I was home just trying to not get depressed, you know, like how do we optimistic when everything around us was suggesting that it's pessimistic. It was getting close to the two things I would say to people is pray and be in church. I have a lot of friends, even in Christian music, they're not committed to being in church. And I think we need community. Mm. We need good food. And there was something about the church community, which was so life-giving to us. Had it not been for our church, People's Church, now Church of the City, I think we would have gone back home. They loved on us. And every time I see the movie now, and I've seen it 17, 18 times because I've been out helping promote it, it makes me cry.
Praise
because
God.
I see the goodness of God. And I was incredibly weak at that time. Helen was stronger. And when we are weak, we hear about it, but I don't think we always believe it. But Amen. When we are weak, He is strong. And I can tell you that that's what happened in my life. And I bet you can tell the same story.
I can, but not as articulate as you do. I love how you put it out there. I always tell my, the people that I disciple to have a 2 minute, a 10 minute and a 45 minute version of your testimony ready to give, because for most men, like you're saying, most people aren't going to church, which means they're not in their word. So they don't know the word of God in order to spread the word of God, but they do have a testimony if they're truly saved. And if they're truly saved, then they have the opportunity to share the gospel. So you've done a really good job in sharing your testimony with our audience. So go ahead.
Can I leave you with one thought?
You sure can. I would love that.
About 15, 16 years ago, being in town at that time, 16 years or so, I realized that our industry, for want of better terminology, was spiritually bankrupt. Mm-hmm. And I felt I got prompted by the Holy Spirit that every meeting that I took, I would do a devotional. And so as we speak, I've got one of Tim Keller's little devotional books. So yesterday I met with a couple of radio executives and I read a devotional. And the best story that I've got, about 10 years ago, I was meeting with the toughest attorney in Nashville. He used to be Madonna's attorney. And he and I get on pretty well. It's a little edgy. And at the end, and I was thanking him because he'd done a deal for us with Warner Brothers. And I was thanking him for that. At the end of it, I read this little devotional. All I did, I pick it up and just read, probably two or three paragraphs, and that's it. The toughest attorney in town melted in front of me. And I just thought,
praise
isn't
God.
That the wonder of Jesus, the awesome. Wonder of His word, how even those people we don't think, and they weren't my words. They were probably, I've read Rick Warren's devotional. I'm a devotional apologist. I love that because I'm not that smart.
Right.
And devotional books, you have more brilliant people highlighting and articulating what the truths of the Bible. And so maybe my challenge is to everybody, find your own unique way of in your community, making sure those people know that Jesus has changed you. Is in the process of changing. We're all in that process, but we're all, the goal is to get stronger in Him.
Wow. David, you don't know how much I appreciate you taking your time out of your busy schedule to talk to us. We have over just shy of 1 million followers on social media, and we've been promoting your movie and we're doing podcasts.
Oh, thank you.
We're really excited about what, the level of the movies, especially in the Christian genre, are just, they're getting better and better and better every single time. And y'all are doing a great job with it. And it's drawing even those who aren't in the faith into the movies. And we really appreciate you doing that. So when does the movie come out exactly? Tell us exactly when it comes out.
It comes out next week, comes out on the 26th. It'll be in some theaters. There's a big push on the 24th as well. But I, you know, if you've got any of your people who can't afford to go, you know, let me know and I will, I'll find free tickets for them. And the other thing are those, we have a trailer, a really good trailer on for King Country's Facebook page.
Okay.
If you want to share, it's a really high quality, it's one of the better trailers I've ever seen. But if you want to share about the movie with your friends, just copy that off our Facebook and send it to your friends. But it will, you're making me emotional.
Amen.
But it Amen. Will, because I live the story and then I'm seeing it. It will encourage your friends to look to Jesus in a deeper way, like it did for me. Why do you make me cry, Jody? Why do you do that? Why do you do that to me?
That's the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control that you have in you. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit, brother. That's just pure, raw Holy Spirit right there. Man, I love that. I love that. Oh, man. God bless you. God bless your wife. God bless your family. And again, thank you so much for stepping out into a world. Again, like you said, the music industry is not kind to Christian artists. The movie industry is not kind to Christian people. And I want to thank you for being in the forefront of stepping out into a world that will hopefully change lives and save souls. And again, thank you so much for that.
What an honor it is, and that's so wonderful to feel that we together in partnership today, and Godspeed, and you men, you just get serious with Jesus. It's the only way to live. It's purposeful. It's wonderful, and so honored to spend this time with you today.
Wow, and ditto. I hope to meet you someday, shake your hand and hug your neck, and if it's not on this earth, we'll see you in heaven.
Good on you, Jody, and tell Ed I said hello.
I sure will. I'll be talking to him here soon. God bless.
Okay. Godspeed.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Man Up God's Way podcast. Visit us on Facebook, Spotify, Apple, iTunes, and our website at manupgodsway.org.